The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Speaking of homers, here's Travis d'Arnaud, and he hits a high fly ball deep down the left field line. Could it stay fair towards the pole? And that's a home run! He sends it right on down the line. Travis d'Arnaud does it again. That is his fifth home run of the homestand. And it's a two-run Braves lead here in the fourth. That is some King Kong
106, trying to tie everything together here. Jelani Domino on a Tuesday afternoon. Ben Ingram with the call last night. We'll talk more about Travis d'Arnaud making more history last night in about 15 minutes or so from now. Also, the X platform question of the day, with it being English Muffin Day, who's your favorite English person? This is Elton John. And I got to tell you, for some strange reason, I don't know why, I don't know how, I've heard this song like seven times in the last 3 days. I don't know why. This song is like 50 years old, and I keep hearing it over and over
Maybe
and over.
Maybe it's a sign.
Of what, I don't know, but it could be a sign.
Well, here's where it could have worked out better for you. If you heard it before he did it and then wrote it.
Right.
This could have been a payoff for you somehow.
La, 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 la. All right, take it easy over there, Domino. Oh, la, la, la. I said take it easy.
I think I'm going to go home and rank my 10 favorite English things. And I do believe muffins will actually be on my list of 10.
And you'll do it now. You'll forget.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll do it now later on today in your mind. It's never going to happen.
I'm going to do it before the pregame show tonight.
Before we talk some more Braves baseball, let's do this.
Imagine, if you will, a trip into the mind of Chris Domino.
Feeling stupid? I know I am.
It's time to go beyond the goatee.
Housekeeping. It was NFL.com and the eighth overall pick, Byron Murphy II, defensive tackle out of Texas. That was the Atlanta Falcons pick. Have you heard that name before? That's the 12th different name.
No.
I've kept... That's
not as far as the Falcons are concerned.
Yeah, that's the 12th different name I've heard that the Falcons will be taking. We're now up to 12.
More
that's
housekeeping.
Called a dozen, folks.
We talked about one day perhaps student athletes becoming employees. Michael, an attorney, emailed and said if they do become employees, they become entitled to workers' comp for benefits for any injury they suffer while playing.
Yep.
So another hurdle, perhaps.
Well, there go the insurance rates. Oh, my God, right, getting killed by the insurance.
Thank you, Michael.
Marvin Harrison just signed a multi-year endorsement deal with New Balance. The Ohio State star will introduce the brand's first American football cleats at the NFL draft.
Made in America. Made in the good old U.S. of A. Right here.
At the NFL draft. Now, do you think he's going to wear cleats on the podium for his bro hug? Please, don't fall. That could be slippery up there. I hope he's just holding them in his hands.
Four Atlanta area locations when it comes to New Balance. Toco Hills, Sandy Springs, Alpharetta, and across from the Mall of Georgia.
You're welcome. I said you're welcome.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
They're not all pearls. And the fact that Peter Frampton had to wait after being eligible since 1998 to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame seems ridiculous. Now, I would have told you, if this was his career, I would have said no.
This is Chuck Oliver's favorite Peter Frampton song. This was the follow-up to Frampton Comes
Alive.
Well,
he also said, they put me in a blouse. They made me record stuff in 6 months. And this is what happened. Now, again.
Come on, put this blouse on. The kids are going to love it.
That's a true story, by the way.
You want to put on a house coat, too?
Go look at the cover of this album. He's got a blouse on. He's got a woman's blouse.
What's it called?
I'm In You.
It is the title of the album as well.
So he said
song and album.
He had to do it in like 6 months. Frampton Comes Alive was such a big hit. They were like, we need another one. And it's what happened. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It's not great. But as part of it, it would have been okay. Thank God this is not what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was judging him on, although I don't know what they were judging him on because it's taken 26 years. Now, if you do this...
I thought he was in already.
So did he. Let me give you one other thing very quickly. He finished second. You know there's a fan vote? 528,000 fan votes. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does a fan vote. You know who got the most votes? Dave Matthews. The fan vote, the people. So you're wrong about it. The people.
I'm not wrong.
No. The people have told you
this,
you're wrong.
No, this is all a work.
This doesn't
matter.
This
is a work.
It's Angel Hernandez, and it's some other things around here, and now Dave Matthews.
I feel like every 70s album cover looked like this.
Okay. They told him to put on a blouse.
They did the same thing with Andy Gibb, right? He's kind of laying horizontally with the shirt on.
It's a blouse shot.
Yeah.
It's a blouse shot. All right, now take this down because we've heard it for too long. When you do that, you got to understand that the man also did this. One of the great openings of an album ever. This really is.
I mean, no one really knows who he is. Nope. The fact that this all came together.
Well,
the
he
way
was with Humble Pie.
Yeah.
So some people knew his name. As a teenager, he was known as a really, really good guitar player.
Jerry Shirley worked in Cleveland. He was a DJ. He was a drummer for Humble Pie.
Right. So this is how the album opens up. And this is the beginning of, some would say the beginning of the end, because you can't
sustain this.
You can't top pigs with pigs.
No.
Like, you got to do something different. And I'm and You came out. Oof. And then Sgt. Pepper's came out. Oof. Now that I think about it, maybe Peter Frent. No, I'm kidding.
Was he Billy Shears in the movie?
He was. Oh, boy. Yeah, it was bad. Here's a paycheck. He also said, this is not the movie I was pitched.
So Lennon's still alive when that comes out.
Yeah,
and
70s.
I can't find, I'm not saying they don't exist. I can't find any quotes from Lennon because he had
about
to be,
it.
I mean, maybe he was so disgusted with it that he wasn't even going to give you a quote.
How much money did he make?
Yeah, but you know, he was.
What do you mean?
He was above taking the check? He would like to let you believe he was.
Well, he wasn't. That movie proves he was not above taking the check. Frampton did say, man, they pitched me a different movie. Doesn't matter. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, again, I'm not telling you they shouldn't be. I'm not sure they should be. But if this is what you're hanging your hat on to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I say no.
A great wedding song.
Yeah. Is it? Okay. I think people have told you it's a great wedding song. Look, at the end of the day,
it's played at every wedding, is it not?
Yeah. Except weddings I was at. What did I used to do? I'd give the guy $20 if you don't pay it.
I went to my nephew's wedding, great Motown band in Chicago. They played this.
I know.
You just have to, I guess. It's a rite of passage.
Right. Unless somebody pays you not to play, which I've done to the DJ. Doesn't matter. This is not their best. That's all. It's upbeat. I saw these guys in a parking lot, by the way.
Robert Cool Bell, is that right?
Yeah, they were playing in a parking lot in Piscataway at like a bar.
Did you Hollywood swinging?
Yeah, which is better than this.
Yeah.
Can I ask what is their best, if this isn't it?
Hollywood swinging's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Are they supposed to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Come on. Come on. Be honest.
No.
They're not. It's cool and everything.
No pun intended.
But they're in. And someone said, they're finally in.
So I was going to say Too Hot. Another one of their,
interesting,
their songs. But
that was another one of their songs.
Gotta run for shelter, gotta run for shade.
All right, now you want a story? This guy's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Did you know this story?
The materials we used were all things that were just lying about. Literally, the oak panel, which takes the strain here, is from an old tabletop. The neck is from a fireplace, which was 100 years old at the time, so it's about 300 years old now. This guitar evolved in the hands of me and my dad. We had no power tools. We had no experience in making guitars. You can still see the wormholes, which were filled in with matchsticks. And this was all just done with spokeshaves and sandpaper and chisels. And the dot markers were from my mum's button box. Pretty much this is the guitar I made.
That's Brian May, who said they didn't have any money. His father was like an engineer, and they made his guitars. They made the first guitar that he got up on stage,
so guys
and
like
made
that,
the one after that.
And guys like Eddie Van Halen, he did the same thing.
No doubt.
He would tear apart guitars and make his own guitars, and maybe that's why they had their own sound.
He had drawings that he had showed. He says, these are the drawings we used, the scribbles. And he said, but my father was an engineer. He figured it out. I couldn't afford a good guitar. His father made him one, then made him a second one.
Great song on News of the World, All Dead, that Brian May sings lead on, if you want to check it out.
Did Freddie admit that he sang lead? Did he lose a bet? How did Freddie give up power in that one?
I'm not really sure.
How do you think that went? All right. Tell me what you would do in this situation. But first, you got to hear this. Oh, yeah. ask you a question.
It's a being, train.
Yeah, I'm being
right,
serious.
There you go. That's the sound of the horn.
There are two people who are now up in charges in California because what they did is they couldn't afford really rents to live, so they built an apartment below a train station.
Gotcha.
They got found out. Now, they worked on the trains. They weren't squatters. They worked for the company. They fixed trains.
They were mechanics.
But they would order some parts.
Yeah, I'm talking about squatters. Down the hall to the left.
They ordered some parts and end up building these apartments for them to live in because it was kind of the best they could do. I'm not charging them. They're being charged. Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm not charging
them. What are you charging them with?
Well, because they were in a place.
Trespassing?
Yeah, and a little bit. They got them on fraud because they said some of the materials that they ordered, they actually put into these apartments that they built.
I got you.
But here's the difference. Instead of being homeless, they showed up for work every day. They did their job every day because they were living here. Instead of being handing out, I need this, I need that.
We need to build a wall.
Yeah, no, down the hall.
They figured out a way to do it. What are you supposed to charge them? I'm serious. What do you, like, they didn't want to be a blight. They didn't want to be a problem for society. They had no record. They didn't do anything wrong. They just figured out a way to live in a place where, quite honestly, most people wouldn't live. They'd be like, I can't live there.
Yeah,
they did.
I find it to be ingenious.
Me too. And they showed up for work every day. That's the other part.
Yeah, they never miss work.
They didn't ask for
anything. Their own business.
That's right. So, I don't know. If I'm the judge.
I did what I did to survive.
What's that?
I did what I did to survive.
These are Americans, by the way. I don't know who you think they are. These are Americans.
Well, if I did it as an American.
What's English Muffin Day?
Quite as good. It is. Pay attention to what we're trying to do here today.
All right. I will give you a dollar if you can tell me what this is.
All right. So here we are, one of the elephants. The cool thing about these guys is that they have really, really, really long trunks. And that's cool. And that's pretty much all there is to say.
You know what that is? It's famous, by the way. And I was waiting for somebody to do a Dan Matthews joke. Dan.
Elephants?
Yeah, no. No, no, being a reporter of some sort.
I actually know this one.
I didn't offer you a dollar. Do you want to do it still?
Yes.
Go ahead.
First YouTube video?
That's the first YouTube video. 317 million views. This kid went by the name of Jawed, J-A-W-E-D. It's the first YouTube video ever. It's still up. It's 317 million views. 19 years ago, by the way. It's the first YouTube video uploaded. Now, how would he even know what to do or how to put it? Or I don't know any. It's a kid. He's at a zoo. He's literally at a zoo, and he put the video up. He's the first one. I don't know. Is he famous? Did he make any money on this? My guess is no.
But I can't imagine a world without YouTube. I don't know that much.
Oh, and here's
my nights would be lonely.
Here's my what the blank moment of the week, all right? And it might be my what the blank moment of April. Somebody put something out on social media. Who's the greatest player of all time? And it's an NBA thing. Who's the greatest player of all time?
Gotcha.
Can I tell you what his choices were? This is what you had to vote on. It's the God's honest truth. Somebody put this up. Who's the greatest player of all time? Here are your choices. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, Magic Johnson, Paul Pierce. Which of these things is not like the other?
I mean, it's self-explanatory.
Paul Pierce. Let me see. Hold on. There's got to be Kareem there. Nope, he's not there. Nope, he's not there. Paul Pierce.
You're going to put Paul Pierce instead of Larry Bird on the list? Yeah, you...
Yeah, that's my what the blank moment.
You got to be suspended from social media.
You understand why this might be my what the blank moment of all of April.
Some people, what they don't know, they don't know.
So what you're saying is they're ignorance. Did you see Florence Pugh? Do you know who that is, speaking of English? She's British, right?
She's Florence an actress, right?
Yeah, she was at the Braves game the other night. Miller Lite, she was sitting in the good seats. Her and Blooper got a picture together. She's filming an Avengers-y type movie down here right now. But she was there, had a Braves hat on. Fans loved her. Everybody said she was gracious, drinking a Miller Lite.
Speaking of filming things here, I saw someone post on social media a photo of Stallone filming Tulsa in Gainesville, Georgia.
Yeah, I saw that. He got escorted by, that's where I live, and the signs were up all around downtown on the square, and he was being escorted by the police onto set, and he looked good in a suit.
Well, I mean, you're our producer. You live up there. Why don't you...
I brought this up to Domino. I said, should I go and try to get him, and Domino's will just get a 680 shirt and make sure it's recorded.
Yeah.
He meant, like, for the show.
Yeah, no, go book him. Run up to him. Take a beating by the bodyguard that was there, because there was a bodyguard there.
All I wanted to do was give you this 680, the fan shirt, and ask you to come on the show.
And Florence is from the United Kingdom.
Yeah, that's correct.
Whatever. What do you want from me?
Now you're whatever.
What an ugly American. Atlanta Braves hat on and Miller Lite. I'm in.
I wish you guys do a little more homework.
Yeah, Deanne's right about you.
That's hilarious. Where's she from?
United Kingdom.
Oxford.
Give me one thing you know about the United Kingdom.
Well, you go over there to
Lawrence
study.
Kluge is from there.
You go over there to study. If you have a Rhodes Scholar, you go to Oxford to study.
And where's Oxford?
United Kingdom. Anything else?
Yeah. Have you heard her speak?
No, I've never heard her speak.
Okay. Well, then shame on you. You obviously didn't watch...
that's not the question you asked me.
She's in that Black Widow. I saw.
Okay, if you say so.
I did. I saw her in another movie where she was depressing. Well, oh, my God. She was a nanny of some sort on some... Oh, it was a period piece. Let me explain something to you.
Oh, Mrs. Doubtfire. And it's depressing.
Let me explain something to you. I watched about 20 minutes of this movie. Thank God I started in a pretty good mood because I don't know what I would have done.
I would rather watch Mrs. Doubtfire.
Midsommar she was in? Midsummer or however you say that?
I don't know what it was. Midsummer. But I don't know if that was it. This was like she was a nanny and she walked to these people's houses. And I was like, oh, my God, what is going on here?
No, thank you. The 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard. Notice cracked bricks, floor gaps, or bowed basement walls. Well, the experts from AquaGuard, Joe, can help you. They can provide a free inspection if you're ready to fix your sagging, bouncy floors. Visit AquaGuard.net.
A little disappointed in you, and I'll tell you why when we come back.
Also, when we come back,
you're a little disrespectful is what you are.
We talked about movies. Why is Bryce Elder like a spaghetti Western? It'll all make sense when we come back. Braves and Marlins go at it again tonight at 7:20. Max Fried on the Hill, the Ford leadoff show, is at 6:05. We are the flagship, incidentally, for Braves baseball. We are Cellini and Domino, the Fan, 680, 93.7 FM, and the Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now, come here. Have a talk with your Uncle Oz. Now, this is your first real tour, right? I want you to be careful. Have fun, but no one to say when. Because a life full of booze, drugs, and unprotected sex is only going to f*** you up, man. Now give me a straw, fancy a bump.
128. Cellini Domino. The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM, 1 o'clock hour, brought to you by AquaGuard. It's English Muffin Day. Who's your favorite English person? Ozzy Osbourne, as portrayed in The Dirt, and this is actually him singing. I listened to that. It sounds like an English Floyd the Barber from Andy Griffith. That version from The Dirt.
Well, you are playing the character of Ozzy, so you're going to perhaps harness a Floyd, whoever your Floyd might be. Now, that actor probably is too young to know Floyd, but he harnessed something.
If you haven't seen The Dirt, I just recommend seeing The Dirt.
Don't watch the first 4 minutes with your daughters.
No, and you did.
Well, no. No, no, no.
I thought you said you saw that scene with your daughters.
Oh, no, I saw the scene, and then my daughters asked me like 2 days later, Dad, have you seen this? No.
No, she's talking about.
Have you?
Never heard of Motley Crue.
Yeah, we did. Oh, damn. Yeah, don't, just, not with your kids.
The guy who played Mick Mars was the best thing in that movie.
And I think he's the guy from Game of Thrones.
He is.
Yeah.
He was not a good guy in Game of Thrones. I think it was that guy. I don't remember.
It is. He played Ramsay in Game of Thrones.
Okay. That was him.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's range.
He just called Tommy Lee drummer through the whole
Which, by the way, I can respect that. I really can. I can respect that.
And he was older than everybody else. Anyway, Travis Darnold.
I'm working on my list. Isaac Newton.
Uh-huh.
Alan Turg. Dua Lipa.
That's quite an eclectic list thus far. Obviously, your favorite English people.
My number one is Churchill. Churchill's my number one.
What kind of a conversation do you think Churchill would have with Dua Lipa?
I don't know. Be fabulous, though.
Be over drinks, right?
Tolkien.
I don't know if she drinks, but he certainly did.
Tolkien. Darwin. This Isaac Newton thing, like, don't do the Apple thing. That's not really, that's just sort of, that's the School of Kid Rock, whatever the hell that thing was on in the mornings. What was that on Saturday?
Schoolhouse Rock.
Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, they gave you the Isaac Newton. He had an apple fall on his head. That's not much. But he did
a very
lot of
simplified version.
Well, he's a mathematician. He was a lot of things. Physician, physicist. He did a lot of things, Newton. But the apple thing was the cheapest trick of all of them. So Florence Nightingale, perhaps, might be in my top 10.
Where's McCartney?
I haven't gotten there yet. Haven't gotten there yet.
Lennon.
I figured you
Even
were going to.
George Harrison.
You're going to prop them up a little bit more than I would. So I'll let you have them.
Roger Daltrey.
I'll let you have the Beatles.
Keith Moon.
I'll let you have all those people.
Austin Powers.
I think I went a little more historical on mine.
Yeah, mine would be based on music and music alone, most likely.
Yeah, Churchill's number one, though. I was thinking about it. Churchill, Alan Turing is right there. That's the guy who did the Imitation Game, The Machine. Helped us win World War II. Yeah, he's up there.
Gotcha.
Some of these other people. By the way, can I ask, why is Florence Pugh not considered? Like, why was
I don't know,
being berated when United Kingdom, like the United Kingdom is Britain.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's,
I was just messing with you.
Scotland?
It's all
Ireland,
kind of the same
Northern
thing,
Ireland.
Right? It's all under the
well,
same.
Well, Britain is in there.
The same guys, yeah.
Like, I'm like, yeah, Florence Pugh.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you want to yell at me about?
How did you not wish happy anniversary to Troy Aikman? This is the day he gets drafted number one by the Cowboys in 1989.
I think I have it as a part of back in time a little bit later on.
Happy anniversary. If you think he's the most handsome man ever, he shouldn't just be subjugated to that last little stupid segment.
I'm going
to
play a cut during Back in Time because this is the anniversary of him getting drafted number one overall.
Yeah.
You got to listen to Chris Berman during this cut and how he sounded then versus what he's become.
Oh,
sounds like a different person.
So he still had a little bit of a fastball. Is what you're
Absolutely.
Telling me. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's gone. It's gone. They ain't coming back.
Troy Aikman. Everything was very, very clear and concise way back when Troy Aikman got drafted number one overall. Travis Darnold is going to be on with Chuck and Chernoff in an hour from now. Cracked his fifth home run in 8 at bats last night. Bryce Elder, a rough first inning, but the Marlins made it worse on themselves. 6 2/3 scoreless innings. And like I said, Bryce Elder is like a spaghetti Western. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. It was ugly at times in that first inning. Sometimes it's bad because he gave up 8 hits. But the good is the fact that he got 2 huge double play balls in the second and the sixth. The good is it took him with runners on second and third after the base running blunder in the first inning and one out 10 pitches to get out on 2 harmless fly balls of a scoreless first inning.
Yep.
This is what is going to happen when you watch Bryce Elder pitch. He's going to make you nuts at times, but if he's the guy that pitched in the first half of the season and last night, he's going to work his way out of it more often than not.
Miami is 6-18. Part of that problem is the first inning because they let a guy who was struggling off the hook. You know, dumb is a thing. Clutch is a thing, but dumb is a thing too. And they let him off the hook and they let him go further. You know, he got past the sixth inning. You know how many 5 1/3 starts he has, the same as Max Fried, who's got 1. Now Bryce Elder has 1. Max Fried goes tonight. I hope he makes it 2. And I hope it's a good result at the end of the day as well.
And here's Bryce Elder after the game last night talking about the adjustments that he made back in spring training.
I was upset at first. I think that's always going to kind of be my reaction. But I also kind of figured out, like, if I kind of sat down and realized that I'm still 24, and I plan on playing this game for a really long time. And so if you look up in hopefully about 12 to 15 years, nobody's ever going to remember this. I'll hardly remember it. So I kind of took it as however long I'm going to be down, I'm going to figure out what I can do, whether it's 1 week or the whole season. I'm going to figure out what I can do to make my stuff better and kind of get back to the form I was in parts of 22 and 21 in the minor leagues and then even at the beginning of last year.
It's mature. And he didn't try to make up for the 4 starts that he's missed this year. Don't try to be the king of the world. Won't work. And maybe in the first inning he was a little bit. But then when he realized, oh, I can flip a double play, I can flip a double play. Next thing you know, I'm past the sixth inning, which means in today's baseball, you know what you are? A hero for the night.
Great double play to end the sixth inning. The 3-6-1 double play. Olson to Arcia, and then he gets over and has the stretch there at first base.
You know what that means? He wasn't just watching. He was playing baseball. Part of your job is to play baseball. He played baseball on that play.
So when you look at the most starts by a Braves pitcher with 6-plus scoreless innings since the start of last year, it's Spencer Strider and Bryce Elder tied atop that list with 6. And we know that Strider isn't coming back this year. And you hope that this is the Bryce Elder that we're going to see the rest of the way. We know that it wasn't the case last year in the second half of the season. And here was Elder last night talking about what he learned from that second half.
We'll for sure be more prepared with come July, August, September, just as far as how many starts you have to make. And I think not just physically, but mentally, you know, like you I said last year, it was like it was just you're going 100 miles an hour and no steering wheel. You just go, 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 go. And I think physically I was somewhat ready for it, but mentally I'd never done anything like that. So being able to understand what it's going to be like, I think I'm much more prepared for it this year.
Mature. And it tells me, again, I joked, whether it was over in Lawrenceville or it was somewhere on the road in Virginia or the Carolinas, he thought about it. That's a mature way to approach this. I got maybe tired mentally. I didn't handle 100 miles an hour without a steering wheel is a great analogy. He's telling you that at 23, making an all-star team, then it maybe spun out a little bit. Then maybe he didn't understand what time between starts was supposed to be. Maybe the game, instead of Nick slowing down, sped up on him.
Well, he said mentally. I thought it was both mentally and physically, so I was kind of surprised that he just said mentally. I thought maybe he hit the wall physically as well, having never thrown that amount of innings.
And but I like the fact that he's openly talking about it. I plan on being here. My 10 or 12-year career, God willing, will not be. This is not even a paragraph.
Listen, everybody, especially now with Strider being out, everybody wants him here. If that was the version we're going to get, if he's going to have to dance through the raindrops at times, that's fine. If he can work through it and give up 1-2, he can't pitch shutouts all the time. You're facing a better team last night. You're in the hole in the first inning.
No doubt.
But work through that and pitch into the seventh inning. You're going to take that every day of the week and twice on Sundays.
Now, can he double it up?
Because he's going to get another chance.
Yeah. The next trick is, can you not, maybe not that exactly, but can he double it up where it's the third one?
I think his next turn in the rotation is going to be Sunday.
If I would have told you the best team in baseball is going to have two guys pitching in back-to-back nights who weren't on your original roster coming up in Vines and him, you would say, well, how bad is it going? Well, it's bad. We got Sean Murphy out. We got Ozzie out. We got Strider out for the year. Uh-oh. What's the record? Oh, the best record in baseball.
And the second best run differential. And now Ozzie Albies was doing fielding drills over the weekend. He was in the cage last night. He's eligible to come off the injured list on Friday. We know the Braves like to take their time, but this guy's really going to push the envelope to be ready to play on Friday.
You can't.
He's driving everybody nuts over there.
If he's eligible to come off and he's not going to play Friday because you're going home, tell him to stay home. I joke with Kevin, you got to keep him in the clubhouse. You got to lock the door behind him. You know how you're not allowed to leave the bench or go back to the clubhouse? Like they made that rule, oh, you can't go back there and look at all this stuff. They're going to have to lock the door from the outside so he can't get out because he's going to be bothering people. He's going to be bothering people.
He's going to want to play, and we'll see if he's in the lineup on Friday. I love what Jeff Francoeur told us earlier when he joined us for his Tuesday conversation, talking about getting thrown out of his first game. He didn't know what to do. He went to Bobby and said, all right, now what? Just go have a couple of beers in the clubhouse, sit in the cold tub.
That's sort of like orientation where you go, either I wasn't listening, somebody maybe told me this, but I'm not sure they did. What happens now? You go over there, and the story about, I've heard that story about Bobby. He would just send one big check and, it's sort of like when we used to put change on the bar at that place in Milltown, the guy would pull out 25 cents, right. 25 cents, 25 cents. And this is what you have left, or this is how much more
you have. So how much was a beer in that tavern?
25 cents. They were the
little glasses?
Yeah, the 8-ounce. Yeah. But the 8-ounces.
My father had those in his bar,
yeah,
too.
25 cents. And that was in 79?
They had that brush behind the bar. You put the glass over that brush to clean the glass real quick.
The brush that stuck out?
Yeah. I'm sure that cleaned the glass well.
When you say clean.
That cleaned it. Did you? So do you looking know, back, did you?
You know what this place also had? They also had popcorn. It was like a popcorn. And they would pop in a frozen pizza. Like, they didn't advertise pizza. But if you knew, if you were there, right. You had frozen pizzas, and you would ask for a frozen pizza.
Yeah, like at the Allegro. There was a small kitchen in the back.
But nobody really, they're not advertising.
Right.
If you wanted something. But there it was
I would go
just
there
pizza.
Every, yeah, surprisingly, I would go there every Saturday, walk down the road. You know, the bar was like seven houses down. Would walk down there on Saturdays and have my steak sandwich.
with the steak fries every Saturday.
Ah, look at Nicky boy. Adam, can you look this up?
A couple of drunks would stagger in and give me, you know, $10, $15, $20 sometimes, which was the equivalent of like having $500.
Do you know what's crazy? For $20 in a neighborhood like that, usually I have to kill a man.
Maybe that's how they got the $20.
Well, ask me,
I didn't ask.
Ask me why it was only $20 there. Because a lot of people were willing to do it.
Yep.
Why overpay? Adam, look up to see if there was something called Celentano frozen pizza. Celentano frozen pizza.
How do you spell
pizza.
That?
With a C. Celentano.
C-E-L, like the start of my
name. Yeah. A-N, maybe? A-N-T-A-N-O?
Yeah.
Celentano frozen pizza. I don't even know if there's still a thing. I think that was the name of the frozen pizza. It was in like a square pizza.
It looks like they still sell it at Walmart. You can get it today.
And yeah, we've like, expanded.
It's like a square pizza
the Walmarts now.
In a tin foil.
Ask for Celentano by name.
Yeah, Celentano pizza. That's what the guy, he had a bunch of Celentano pizzas in the freezer.
In a copyrighted story, the New York Times gathered a panel of tasters to sample the 10 top-selling pizzas in the New York area. The panel agreed unanimously that Celentano brand pizza came closest to meeting its standard for pizza. No surprise, Celentano uses only the best. 100% mozzarella, crushed California tomatoes,
wow.
No additives, no preservatives, no artificial ingredients. And looky here, a freshness expiration date. Celentano cares about what you eat.
So apparently back then to have an expiration date was a really big deal.
No, the guy,
it just wasn't assumed that you had one.
The guy at the Milltown pub did not have pizzas and he didn't care about the expiration
date. You know it's legit because he said mozzarella real fast.
Celentano pizza, the
mozzarella.
Number one pizza in New York. That's crazy. I haven't thought of that 40 years. It's been like 40 years since I had a Celentano pizza.
It's amazing what you remember, is it not?
And this guy would be like, yeah, he liked us. Like, he, you know, we never caused any problems. I told you, that was the Skunk family from Milltown.
It looks like they may have gotten away from the pizza. They've gone into other things like ravioli, tortellini.
Okay. No, the pizza was the thing. They might not make the pizza anymore. The Skunk brothers, by the way.
Why were they the Skunk brothers?
Four brothers who each had a white streak down the middle of their head and right down the middle of their beards.
Gotcha.
The Skunk family.
Probably had nothing to do with nuclear waste or anything.
But how is that possible? And they didn't care that they were known as the Skunk brothers because...
They probably wore it like a badge of honor.
Yeah, but this was not a work. They didn't do this on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody listening right now...
The Toxic Avenger.
If you're from Central Jersey and you were there in the mid to late 70s, you've heard the story of the Skunk Brothers.
I don't think...
It's a lot like Huck Finn.
Mm-hmm.
It's just things that you know.
It's legendary. Ronald Acuna Jr.'s career legendary thus far. He made history last night stealing career-based 190, passing Rafael Furcal with the Braves record now belonging to him. Herman Long has the all-time Braves franchise record, 1890 through 1902.
That's the down-the-hall moment. Go ahead. It doesn't matter.
434 stolen bases.
He didn't really. The bases.
Hank Aaron has the modern-day franchise record with 240.
Hank didn't know it was a big deal. He said he would have had more.
I believe him.
He said 30-30s. If that was a thing, I probably would have done
Acuna had no idea. Had no idea this record was within his reach. And tomorrow night, you can get that bobblehead of him breaking the record last year, the 40-70 deal, as he's holding the base up above his head.
Right. Do you know that every bobblehead has a little piece of that base? They've cut it up, and it's now a memorabilia collectible.
I'm not really sure I'm buying what you're selling right now. But the first 15,000 will be able to get those bobbleheads tomorrow in AJ Minter.
And do you know what's going to be happening in September? The second Ronald Acuna... Where he's holding a base over. It's going to be the 190 steals commemorative.
Maybe they will. Who's to say? AJ Minter set a record for holds. Last night was hold.
It's not a real thing.
Number 108.
Not a real thing.
He was tied with Mike Remlinger. It became an official stat. Holds back in 1986.
I know. And when Herman Long stole 400 and whatever bases, I told you the bases were 42 feet apart. Some things just don't count.
Hop along, Herman Long.
Do you know why a hold was invented? Ask me why the hold was invented. Ask me why the hold was invented.
Why was the hold invented?
Because the agents needed a way to get some of these guys paid. Listen, I'm not dumb. It's Valentine's Day. What's Valentine's Day? I don't know. How do we sell more cards, chocolate, and flowers?
Make it up.
Make it up.
People are lemmings. They'll do whatever you tell them
to do. You know, my client in the last 3 years has had the third most holds in all of the American
League. Must do what you must do to get him paid.
Pay him with respect, please.
How much respectfully do we have to dump on the table when we come back?
Good. Not a lot. Yeah, we're going to get out of here. Those guys have Travis Darnot.
Chuck and Chernoff are those guys that you're referencing.
The seventh most famous Englishman That I know, Travis Darnell.
All right, I don't think that's accurate, but he will be joining Chuck and Chernoff at 2:30. We'll have the dump, we'll talk to them, go back in time. All of that to wrap up a Tuesday afternoon. It's Chiellini and Domino. It's the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Sports Radio 680, the Fan, WCAN, North Atlanta.
Go Tiki Broadcasting Company.
Who does number two work for?
152, wrapping up a Tuesday afternoon. Chiellini, Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Chuck and Chernoff are here. Travis Darnell will join Chuck and Chernoff at 2:30. In the meantime, it's time for the dump.
I was going to do a story about a bear, and I'm serious. This is a good segue. I don't want to make you a dancing bear, but the fact that you just did that, now I don't feel bad about it.
You see what they're
all
doing now? I was at the game on Friday when Marcelo Zuna fouls off a pitch.
They do it every time now.
We're the Indiana Pacers with the race car sounds.
Really?
Only when he fouls off a pitch.
So I'm going to ask you to do something. And how's your David Beckham these days?
David Beckham?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to give
you. It's been worse.
I'm going to give you a story, and you're going to be David Beckham.
Okay.
That'll be part of the dump. All right. Let me give you this story first.
Victoria.
I don't remember this. In 2001, in Atlanta, at a drug dealer's house, they raid it, and next thing you know, they find a bear, a tiger, and a lion. It's a true story. I don't remember.
Are they all high as well?
No, but one of them just passed away, so the story's back in the news.
One of the drug dealers or the animals?
No, the animals. Whoa. So they took, I guess they took them to a place called Noah's Ark Wildlife Sanctuary in Georgia. They were known as BLT, get it, bear, lion, tiger. Became inseparable. Natural predators that remained friendly and shared the same enclosure, defying the odds. I didn't know that. Why do I not remember a raid that actually got a bear, a lion, and a tiger from a drug dealer's house?
You would think that we would have remembered.
No doubt.
I mean, I was pretty out of it. I quaaludes back in that day, too, so I don't know what I remember. No.
But then kept them in Georgia, and then never heard anything until I just read the story. All right.
I was doing heroin back then.
David Beckham's okay?
Very fuzzy.
Oh, thank.
All right. Do you hear what David Beckham and Mark Wahlberg are going to be doing now? Beckham is suing Mark Wahlberg and that nutrition company.
Yeah, he got defrauded somehow.
Well, he's saying he owes him $10 million.
Yeah.
He owes him stock. And Beckham is saying, you know, I don't know how he said it. I don't know how angry he got.
Gotcha.
But he's angry at Marky Mark. Because he said you...
This ain't no funky bunch.
I don't know what that was. I apologize.
Okay. I thought you might actually...
I went too far.
I thought you might want to tell the judge that this man defrauded you out of $10 million in stock options.
Would you agree, though, this isn't about the $10 million? Both those guys have net worths that are ridiculous. Like, Beckham's like $500 million.
Your ego's bruised.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all this is.
He was promised money.
Yeah.
He said, I think he might have even done an endorsement deal, but then he was like, no, but we never did the deal, and then you used my name in the product. Mm-hmm.
What these two will pay in lawyer's fees will mitigate anything that the winner
I
wants
can't have you use my name without paying me
I
and
hope
to
they
get out
publicly.
There.
I hope they fight publicly.
That would be fun.
Oh, I think his
right
wife will.
She's
got some attitude. I think she'll go out there. She'll defend her man.
I will give Wahlberg credit, dude. That guy's in better shape every day. He gets better looking, better shape. He's got to be close to 50.
Well, he's on F45. It's his own product. He's getting high in his
own
supply.
Did you do that, 4 o'clock workout club? They get up at 4 a.m.
Yes.
and work out.
And he shows you every day on Instagram he's up doing it.
I believe he's doing it.
Yeah. Oh, he's actually 52.
Yeah.
My goodness.
I saw a picture. Is it a sign that you've not been an Orioles fan for very long if your Cal Ripken jersey is spelled R-I-P-K-I-N? Like, would that be that you're not really much of an Orioles
or
fan?
That doesn't have the hologram on it. Like, that's the one across the
it's
street.
It's a number 8 Baltimore Orioles, and it says R-I-P-K-I-N.
You got it at Kohl's.
This seems like... Are you trying to explain to me that you really haven't been an Orioles fan but you like what they're doing
here's
now?
The funny, there's a generation right now that has no clue that ever saw Cal play. I mean, when did Cal retire now? Yeah, but 20 years?
You could at least look it up.
Maybe.
You
know, right.
Yeah.
It's cheaper. They didn't have to pay licensing.
I don't know. I'm going to just go with he just outed himself. Mm-hmm. He's not really an Orioles fan.
It's like
he's just enjoying what's going on.
It's like
now.
The guy across the street that was yelling at Bryce Harper. You'll never be as good as Acuna.
It's Acuna.
All right, I got to do research on this one.
You idiot.
Did you know at some point you could have bought a lifetime airline pass? Or maybe you still can.
I remember hearing this, yeah.
Okay, so there's a guy who bought a lifetime pass.
Mark Cuban showed us the card. He had
No. That's when you're a muckety-muck with money.
Yeah, it's a billionaire's club. This is like in 1980, airlines ran this thing where you could buy lifetime.
Lifetime pass. Right. This guy has traveled to the tune of 2.37 million and over 20 million miles on the same pass. They can't take it away from him.
Nope. Now, they stopped doing this shortly after realizing there are going to be examples like this.
How great is that where you just go, yeah, I'm going to go over here. Oh, that'll be, no, it won't. And you pull out whatever card.
You do that thing on a Tuesday morning, you're like, I'm going to fly in an hour.
Right.
And you can.
Tremendous.
Yes.
His investment, I'm sure, was not $2.375 million. I got to find the number.
Like, he and D.B. Cooper, they're like two people who got to middle finger the airlines.
Yeah, I just
got
to find the details of what it actually cost.
So what was the difference with Mark Cuban's then?
His was a billionaires club thing of like if you're the highest level of any airline, Delta, United, or
it's like a whale
or private jet, or private. Yeah.
But hold on, but
he could have walked
charged.
On any plane that he wanted.
Charged, they bump somebody for him. That's what that.
But
really
does he
does.
Didn't fly commercial and hasn't in 2 decades?
No, I know. But the thing with him is, if he needed a flight,
can I give you guys?
They
the
had
best?
To bump somebody, and he was going to get on a flight.
Here's the best. It's not a scam. It's real. If you ever had anybody you know that works for an airline, get you the buddy pass. Flight attendant, anybody else, and you can fly. All right, you can go fly in an hour if there's a seat available on standby. You can go.
Yeah, you're on that waiting list.
Is that like a 50
no,
bucks?
No, it's free.
Or?
A buddy pass.
No, that's not true.
Absolutely. I used to know people.
They must have a limited number that they can give out.
We used to work with a few people that had the buddy pass.
Adam Gillespie told me he would like fly to Myrtle Beach for lunch.
Absolutely. So my wife had a friend who worked at the time.
New York for
what was
dinner or something.
She used to go take dance classes in New York in the morning, come back at night.
Yeah. For free. They don't have a limit as to how many buddy passes you get. Because when I bartended, my guy would give me 15 free drinks, and he'd go, you spend them as you want.
Yeah. But, I don't know what the limit is, but
okay.
If you work for the airline, you have the ability to give somebody, here's your buddy pass.
Last one. Did you hear about Pete Rose? So Pete Rose, of course, was at where do you think Pete Rose was when they found him?
Vegas.
Yeah. Doing what?
Signing.
Yeah. Do you know what he supposedly signed on a baseball and somebody showed the baseball? Sorry, I bet on baseball. And on the same baseball, Ohtani is sorry also.
Oh, no, how much? Yeah. How much did that cost?
I don't know. It's a lot of letters, so it costs a little bit more. But Ohtani is sorry also.
Past few times I've been there, and this is going back well before the pandemic, there was no line. Pete Rose is just there by himself. I called you the one time, and you called the place. I saw him in there sitting by himself.
Do you see what the charge is? I'm just curious what he's charging.
Well, it's a spreadsheet. When we were out there 2 years ago for the draft, I went by, and it's just Mandalay Shops, just at that top level off the escalator. And he was in there, and it's got the Expos jersey, the Reds jersey, the Phillies jersey, the baseball, the bat stuff.
If you go a little bit longer, it costs you per letter or whatever it is. But he did write on a baseball. Shohei.
If you do
Ohtani,
like,
sorry, also.
41.92 or whatever it is on there.
Like if you told him, sign it, OJ is guilty or was guilty, he'd sign it, right?
I think so.
But you have to bargain. You know when you're in like Jamaica and you go to those shops and you can bargain, can I bargain with Pete? Give you an extra $10 if you write the moon is made of cheese.
He found what was it, the Dowd?
See you haggle
Dowd
like
report?
You're the bizarre.
Yes.
Yeah, he signed
autographed Dowd report.
Well, he signed betting slips too. He signed betting.
He signed anything for
the money,
except his tax return.
Oh, I'm not sure he actually had a tax return to sign for a couple of years.
Yeah,
maybe
might be
that
right.
was the problem.
Yeah.
All right, that's what we got.
So Travis d'Arnaud at 2:30. The run is like we told Jeff Rancourt, inexplicable right now what's happening.
Well, here's what I'm going to ask him, and I already know the answer. You think he ever had 5 home runs and 8 ABs in Little League?
Like, I doubt it.
Right.
It's impossible.
At
this level.
Have no home runs a week ago, and to do this now.
They actually asked, whatever, was the game on somewhere besides Bally's last night?
No, it was Bally. I think, okay. Well, for us it was.
They might have hooked him into MLB Network.
That was his first game.
Okay, yeah. And he said, they asked him, I was like, you ever hit 5 and 8 ABs? He's like, never in my life have been on a power surge like this.
Was still his chest protected.
Absolutely, yeah. He was still suited up.
I don't want to ruin the hopefully we're not the reason he goes 0-4 tonight.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I know. To me,
you're going to get blamed. You know that. Prepare yourself for that.
Like, he was done.
Can't get any better.
Out of baseball, right? Done, like.
So I will give Derek Thomas, as long as he's factually accurate, I'm just going to go with his numbers. I did say that this guy has had a career resurgence, a life resurgence, and the money that he's made for his family. He told me between 2007 and 2019, it was $9 million. Since here, 2020, he's made $35 million. So he has become relevant. He's a catcher who's better than he used to be. That doesn't happen. And he's not thought of, I said, the backup quarterback is everybody's favorite because he doesn't have to do anything. This guy he's earned his adulation. Mm-hmm. His respect because he's played. That doesn't happen
Add
very often
it,
in this game.
He will be a guy who's beloved as a part of a championship winning team as a starting catcher who had a big home run in one of those games. I think the Brave fan loves Travis.
Not just
right now just because he's red.
It's not just Strider and it's not just Albies. Murphy's out too. And has
well,
been.
But he's not a bad. I've never thought of him as a backup catcher. He's a catcher for the Atlanta Braves.
At 35,
this year he's proven it.
He's supposed to be falling off, but he's been.
Unless he says and does what Charlie Morton we thought was going to do, I'm going to go home to the kids. I'm done.
Bring him back again.
Why?
For another year?
Yeah, no doubt.
Do you guys see this list? And it's a couple of days old, maybe even a little longer, of the most famous person who's a fan of each major league team. This can't be accurate. For example, like if you guys had to guess, who's the most famous person who's a Braves fan?
It was Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
Is there someone more?
If this is like, I'm sure this guy has actually watched Braves games.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Elton John is listed.
Oh yeah, no.
Huge Braves.
He used to do that story years ago.
Right.
He was a baseball fan years ago. I don't know if he has any.
You didn't know the story. Domino went to his penthouse there in Buckhead, and they rewatched Game 6 of the.
Oh, that was you and him. I thought that was Smoltz.
No, we broke it down for Sports Illustrated.
Good. Yeah,
like I bet Elton's watched games and gone to games, but
he mentioned the Braves.
Like Zach Brown is a diehard Braves fan.
Can I tell you this though?
Mike Mills is.
Hold on, I saw Elton John the last time he was just here at Mercedes-Benz. He mentioned the Atlanta Braves.
I'm sure he did. It's a cheap pop.
It's smart.
He mentioned that when they advanced in the series back in 21 too.
So John Hamm
beat the Dodgers.
Is like maybe the Cardinals or Brad Pitt because those guys are supposedly Cardinal fans.
All right, here's.
Cooper's a big Tigers fan.
The Royals have those Riggleman and Sudeikis.
So
and
for the Cardinals, Nelly is listed.
Okay, John.
For the Rockies, Peyton Manning's listed. For the Reds, Darius Rucker.
Well, yeah, the Blue Jays.
Hmm.
For the Geddy Lee.
For the Blue Jays, Charlie Sheen.
Really?
That's what I mean. I don't know.
It's odd.
Yes.
Why Colorado Rockies?
I don't know.
They lived out there, I guess, for 5 years, maybe.
Oh, Todd Helton's a backup. Maybe Tennessee, I'll just root for them.
Yankee fan. Yeah, you want to guess? Jay-Z.
Yeah, well, he does wear the hat. And he's pretty rich and famous.
Larry Fitzgerald's the biggest Arizona Diamondback fan because he played for the Cardinals? I don't know. I just saw this thing. I was like, this can't be. Will Ferrell's the biggest Angel fan. Paul Rudd, Royal fan?
Yeah, it's Rudd, Riggleman, and Sudeikis.
Do you think Elton John knows about the difference in Bryce Elder's two halves last year?
What if he did?
Can, like, sit down and have that conversation.
How great would it be if Elton was like, you saw his ERA and his fifth went up in the second half?
Talk about Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, the making of that great double album momentarily, but your thoughts on what Bryce Elder did last night, Elton John.
He's so great. I got into the weeds on that stuff.
I wish I had the list of reasons you get a hold, and I'd have you read them as Elton John so you could explain how important the hold really is.
I feel like today the hold, everybody has defined the hold because of Minter in a way that...
It was invented by agents.
Sure.
I'm not even kidding. Yeah. It was invented by agents to get somebody paid.
It's the Hallmark holiday of stats, and congrats to AJ Minter. Like, would you ever put a plaque up, the all-time leader in holds for a franchise? Like, I didn't even know who was ahead of him.
Mike Rumlinger.
Was it Remy? I had no idea.
Yeah. He was in the stands.
That alone.
Passing the torch.
You didn't know that.
He's going to be on the field tonight to really congratulate him.
They'll be formalized tonight.
He's going to put a medal on him.
So years from now, if AJ has passed, they'll be having his kids go around each city to...
Yeah, exactly. The 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Southern Exteriors, the Southeast premier home exterior solution, quality and precision you can rely on for 20 years plus. Visit southernexteriors.co. And with that, we go back in time on April the 23rd. Things happened on this date. Let's start with Hank Aaron hitting the first of his 755 career home runs on this date in 1954. You want to go back before that? I'll get really crazy with you. 1939, Ted Williams hits his first home run. How many more home runs, Ted Williams, does he have when all is said and done if He doesn't fight in two wars and actually fight.
It's funny.
In two wars.
On the field this weekend, that was the topic of conversation. He's pushing 700.
I think
he's,
so.
He's certainly 650 and up. He's a member of the 600 Club, no doubt about it.
Oh, wait, I just got a text. Cunha's actually leaving to go to the military for 2 years, so he'll be back when he's like 28. So,
all right.
Well, how's his career?
Willie missed 2 years. Willie would have been over 700.
Sounds so crazy.
Not only that, he flew fighter jet. He was a fighter pilot.
Crazy.
He almost died in Korea, right?
Mm-hmm. Warren Spahn?
Was shot down.
Yeah, Warren Spahn, he was on a boat. He was in the Navy.
Yogi Berra was on the beach.
Yeah.
Like the beach.
At Normandy.
Ugh.
Judy Garland in 1961 appears in concert at Carnegie Hall, double live album. It's one of the songs.
Is it?
She wins a Grammy Award for Album of the Year. Like first win by a female artist. God, is this annoying.
Does she have any guts? Has she completed that one?
I don't think she got an Oscar.
No, I don't think she did. You saw the movie, right? Renee Zellweger played her in the movie.
I didn't see the whole thing. I heard it is good.
I mean, Renee Zellweger was fantastic.
Heard she nailed it, yeah.
Very, very troubled woman. What, 47?
Ran in the family.
Yeah. 1965 on this date, this song was released by the Four Tops. Can't Help Myself.
What year?
Became the Billboard Song of the Year.
Holland, Dozier, Holland.
Pretty good if you beat out the Beatles for Song of the Year. Fine.
They didn't have a single lineup change until like one of them passed in 2008.
Levi Stubbs, one of the most underrated voices in rock and roll history. There's also, I can't remember his name, one of the Four Tops looks like a combination of my oldest brother and my father.
Well, they look exactly alike.
Yes.
So he just looks like your oldest
like one
brother.
One of them.
Yeah, pretty much.
This song will be 60 years old next year. Give me songs that have held up as much as this over 60 years that you could play this for a 10-year-old. They go, it's good.
It works. Yeah. No doubt about it. 1985, New Coke makes its debut.
Attention Pepsi drinkers, introducing the new taste of Coca-Cola, the best Coca-Cola ever. That's all I'm going to say. In fact, that's all I have to say. No more words. This stuff is great.
I'm sorry. Extra in it.
I'm sorry.
Would they like to do a run this one?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing was cursed from the beginning.
All the way around, from Bill to the product to all of it.
And Cosby handing you a soft drink to have a sip of.
Drink it. Drink it, I tell you.
Anybody see where that drink has been? Have you slipped anything in there? The new Coke lasted, I don't know, maybe 9 months, 10 months before the classic Coke was starting to be marketed. We're going back to the original.
So they did that all on purpose, right?
Oh, I don't know. I think they thought they were going to hit a home run.
I thought it tasted like Pepsi.
So we got to be one of the test families for that, and we didn't. It was
really,
yeah. They used to bring us the unmarked bottles. And
how'd that happen?
Well, a couple of things. My parents were broke, so they would take any money they could to try to.
Yeah, but how did they line it up?
No idea.
Do
you think that was at the supermarket one day?
There's a chance mom did some. She would try to find ways to do it. So they would bring us the unmarked, and I honestly, I'm a kid. I'm dumb. I couldn't tell that much of a difference. But obviously, I was alone because, again, it was over within a year before people.
I just think it was one of those gimmicks. I believe everything's a work. There was no new formula. They made the whole thing up.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if the payoff, we're going back to the old thing because
we listened to you, America.
Yeah, but it stunk.
It was bad.
It stunk.
And by the way, they didn't need to goose the PR or anything. Remember, that was when Coca-Cola clothing was being sold for high prices.
Why would you do it then? What would be the... There's no benefit
Another revenue stream to just try to... Why would they do, like, Coca-Cola Clear? Remember, they tried that. Uh-huh. That didn't work. Or they tried...
There were Coca-Cola jeans. I had a Coca-Cola sweatshirt.
I had a Coca-Cola sweatshirt. Yeah, I had one.
But for a company that successful shows you can swing and miss at an epic rate, and they did.
Let me ask you a question. Where'd you wear that?
Where you wear it to a fraternity party. So the jean jacket with the collar turned up.
It was red
with
a white
sweatshirt.
Stripe that said Coca-Cola in script and then red bottom.
There's pictures on Facebook of me with that jean jacket on, man.
Yeah, my daughter had a Coca-Cola t-shirt when she was six.
I look like I'm in The Outsiders.
And I probably had a big gold cross on a chain outside the sweatshirt.
I may have.
All right.
1989 on this date. Listen to Chris Berman. Troy Aikman is drafted number one overall by the Dallas Cowboys.
The 54th annual National Football League selection meeting is now in session. First choice, first round, Dallas Cowboys.
I can't imagine that this is going to be more than about a three-minute call. I mean, the phone companies aren't going to make a lot on this one because the Cowboys made it official 2 days ago.
Cowboys select Troy Aikman, quarterback, UCLA.
Berman sounds like a different person.
Mm-hmm.
As now as today, we sound like phone companies, AT&T, Jerry World, maybe not going to run up the phone bill.
What? Doesn't sound that way anymore.
And just to think what the NFL draft production was back in that day. A noon start on a Saturday. And well, now we're doing primetime and a promotion for months.
People forget that people were in there. Like, yeah. The booing has been around. It's been around for a long time.
You guys know where it is this week. You know where the
Detroit,
draft is?
Detroit, isn't it?
Yeah, Detroit.
In the movie.
I think it's the bone throw for a city that's not getting the Super Bowl.
That's typically what it's going to be, right?
Because Nashville's not getting a Super Bowl. Vegas was different.
Craig Landry, the Silverdome Tiger State.
All right, Chris, we get it.
What?
We get it. Howard Cosell, by the way,
does he get trotted out opening night of the draft? Does he do
surprised. They keep breaking the glass.
Chris Berman piece.
Did you get a Greg Landry reference?
I did. Number 11. You wear the black high tops. A shiny you.
There's a pre-produced piece with him.
Right.
Yeah. He's got a lot of hours to fill.
So he fits the role, what Nick says, when there's somebody over 80, got to take it.
Oh, yeah. He's like teeing off in Augusta. Live. He's like Jack Nichols. He tees off in Augusta.
Yeah, we can't do it.
Do you think they want to give Chris live TV?
Who knows how
you're going to cut him off?
Absolutely not.
And he sweats.
He is a big sweater.
He sweats a lot.
Big.
Howard Cosell passed away at the age of 77 on this date in 1995.
It is my view that boxing, professional boxing, at this point in time, is a desperately sick sport. The reasons are many. They are a matter of public notice.
That's him testifying before Congress. Now, his last fight that he called was in the mid-'80s when Larry Holmes beat Tex Cobb. He vowed to never come back, and he never did. And I'll say this, like him, hate him, doesn't matter. Boxing was never the same without him calling fights.
A Friday night on free TV in the Astrodome, and Larry Holmes just beat the hell out of Randy. Like, kept him up enough so he wouldn't get the knockout, but just destroyed him. And then after that, Cosell was like, I'm out.
So
he was the voice of boxing. So
he also, if you listen, can you just play that again? I want you to, Stephen A. Smith has taken from a few people.
So the pacing,
he's definitely taken from this. I mean,
it is my view that boxing, professional boxing, at this point in time, is a desperately sick sport.
Yeah.
The reasons are many.
Yeah, you take from.
You lower your octave. Yeah. You speak at a tone where everybody listens closer.
He's my age. He grew up hearing it.
And I will say, Jim Lampley and Larry Merchant would like a word with you.
Jim Lampley was very good, too.
Yeah,
I'll say this. The knockout, when Mike Tyson gets knocked out by Buster Douglas, that's as good a call as you'll ever hear.
Because it was unexpected. There was no back-pocketed, I came into the building with this quote. And I agree with you.
There's some comedy to the Merchant and then Dr. Ferdy Pacheco and, like.
But again, all those guys get a little bit too old.
Who was the score? Why am I going blank on the score guy?
Aaron Letterman?
It was like a skit.
But again, that's the problem. They get a little bit old.
I got six rounds to four, Larry Holmes!
And they go to Burt's Sugar.
Like Mad Dog Russo.
Oh, my gosh. They go to Burt's Sugar, cigar, unlit.
But that was boxing.
Yeah.
I had never been to Vegas for a fight. It was like early 2000s, and I watched two media members beat the hell out of each other in the press room. And I'm like, shocked. They go, no, this is normal.
Yeah. Sport of savages.
Like, for the Oscar Sturm. De La Hoya Sturm fight.
It was just two media members, one with a neck brace on, rolling around on the ground at the press conference.
Isn't that Ron Borges?
Borges was one of them.
Can I tell you what it used to be? It used to be you got to stay in the boxing game until you died.
Yeah.
Really? Like, you died. That's how you...
Sugar and walk around with the unlit cigar and the hat. Americans like big cars, big-breasted women, and big fighters.
He would do his radio row appearances.
Every time he used that line that he was on with us.
Every single time.
And you know,
still made me laugh. Yep.
I sat down with him at Madison Square Garden with a guy named Bud Schulman, who wrote On the Waterfront. And he was blackballed. Like, this guy, Bud Schulman,
they thought he was a commie, right?
They did. And Burt Sugar.
Down the hall.
So, and I'm probably 35. When I tell you, like, I'm 3 years old compared to these guys, as they're talking about Marlon Brando on the waterfront, filming all these things around me.
Tell Chris the story about Marlon when he came out with no pants on.
Which time?
Danny Aiello was in the conversation. It's crazy. Like, the whole thing, you go, I'm 35, but I feel like it felt like when
Bud said it made him feel inadequate as a man.
They brought me up to the adult table at Thanksgiving, and I knew I didn't belong.
Even Domino was speechless at the time. Valerie Bertinelli turned 64 today. You thought I was going to go with one day at a time.
Yeah, I did.
Should have.
I did. With eruption.
You still go for a cup of coffee with her, Domino?
I think so.
She's 64. Breakfast for dinner.
Somebody said that she was on a talk show recently and just started spouting. And I don't need spouting. I don't need
about?
Where they everybody got uncomfortable. It was down the hall stuff.
She's on cooking shows, I thought.
Yeah, she is.
She's like kids baking shows.
Yeah, whatever. I'd rather go breakfast.
Thanks to Eddie, she's worth $20 million.
No,
that seems light. $20 million.
Third grader in the late '70s.
Whoa, $20 million. Where did it all go?
I don't know. I can. You asking me for?
What are you doing? Another phone picture, huh?
You asked where the money went. I just looked at the picture.
Now, she said to People Magazine, after Eddie died, her and the family ordered pizza and ate it in her or his hospital room. I think, maybe I'm speaking out of turn.
I don't think
she was quite as close to Eddie as she claimed at the end.
Okay. I don't.
Eddie was off with his other wife.
I don't want to have breakfast for dinner with her. I changed my mind. I want to go with Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
All right, you're allowed.
Roy Orbison would have been 88 today. He passed away at the age of 52, right in the middle of the Traveling Wilburys.
Nice comeback for him, too. Absolutely. Plus, he had a couple of solo hits there at the end.
Yep. Worth $20 million as well when he passed away. Well, $20 million in today's dollars.
Oh, in today's dollars?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Then he didn't have the rights to anything.
Let this play while I tell you Lee Majors is 85 today, worth $15 million. I guess the Fall Guy movie starring Ryan Gosling is coming out on May the 3rd. Lee is on Cameo.
Oh, good.
For $390.
Oh, that's high.
And appearing at FanX in September in Salt Lake City.
Hold on.
A photo op is $70. An autograph is $80.
Who's paying $400 for Lee?
$390 is too high.
Who's paying $400?
I respect the hustle, but...
Remember,
0% of zero is zero.
No.
Charge $50 and make money.
That's but he also, he might not want to do them. So it's the whole idea of let me charge too high and
you
I won't
know,
get.
Two handsome son of a guns back in the day. That John Davidson was a handsome guy.
Yes, he was.
He's still good looking.
Never had any of his own hits. He just was a singer, dancer,
famous for being excited
for
Johnny.
He really had no discernible talent. Well,
great hair, though.
He hosted for Johnny.
He good did. Looking.
Yeah. The Hollywood Squares run was good. He also had the Tarkenton, the show with him.
Real People, was that it?
That's incredible.
Amazing, incredible people.
Yeah. Kathy Lee Crosby was on the show as well, and then she made Joe Theismann meet his family.
Right.
Those amazing animals.
She made him. I think he chose.
That's incredible.
Joe Theismann was in, if I'm not mistaken, he was in...
He was in a cast for a while. I know that.
I know that, too. He was in a camera commercial, like a Canon camera commercial with his family, and then like 2 months later, after that commercial came out, he left that family.
What's the times, man?
For Kathy Lee Crosby.
What a follow-up to the commercial.
Can you imagine what that was like?
What was the time?
The commercial could have been easy,
though. My family for you.
The commercial could have been easy. Remember these people? That's a picture I have with them. Here's the new picture. He's got something new. He could have...
Don't lose the
color on that one. Wow.
Don't lose the opportunity to take a picture with your old family.
They'll always be here in photographs, not living with me any longer. Steve Clark.
So what you're really saying is she must have been incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kathy Lee Crosby
must have been incredible.
Of course, Steve Clark and the Def Leppard behind the music. Yeah. This guy drank himself to death, and they used the worst possible photo of him because, after all, he did.
Oh, that's the one we're
drink himself to death. Yeah.
His tongue is basically
30 years old when he passed away in 91. Would have been 64.
Man, how much do you have to drink?
A lot. Bon Scott drank himself to death. Keith Whitley, country singer, drank himself to death.
You know when they go to palpate your liver?
Janie Lane from Warrant drank himself to death.
It's a true thing. When they go to palpate your liver.
To squeeze it out?
No. When you hear that, then you've got a problem. That's
Janie Lane in the Best Western. That kind of lets you know.
Mm-hmm.
Are she supposed to be in the Hilton at least?
I mean, what do you have left? John Schneider finally is 62 today. This can't be right. It says he's worth $200,000.
Oh, he's
got a second story from a walk-up.
Has he had some legal troubles?
Yeah.
He lives in the Badlands.
Yeah, probably.
There was a divorce.
I thought I saw him.
He lives above El Felix.
Sorry to the Schneider family.
He likes to sit at the bar every now and then.
You guys find it funny that somebody
might...
Wow. Oh, my God.
I'm John Schneider. I live here. What's it to you?
Check his Cameo. How much is he charge? And then is he doing any of the... He's got to be doing the cons everywhere.
Cameo's $300.
No, recently had either a tax or a divorce some or other, or accusations.
Says he's paying alimony, and also he had a studio that flooded in Alabama in 2016, so that didn't help him.
Yeah, check the credit card balances before that flood.
What it claims.
$300 for Cameo.
Yoga studio.
He was at the El Paso Comic Con earlier this month.
Of course he was.
At the auto and table selfie.
Wopat with him?
$60 there.
Yeah, a bunch of singles on the country charts.
Be careful.
Yeah,
friend.
Those were called sympathy songs. The guy's on TV. Sure, he's a recording.
If the sound of the tone.
Who goes to Comic-Con in El Paso?
Well, that's the thing. If you only have one Duke.
Who even knew that existed?
Is one Dukes of Hazzard, does that make you money?
I think you need Tom Wolpat.
That's what I'm saying.
Well.
You need the Dukes.
Yeah. I bet you Larry Wilcox is at one of the cons somewhere. All right,
we got to go. You guys have Travis Good, the Hard No at 2:30. I want to thank Jeff Francoeur. Let's see. Cullen Madden, Brian Gebhardt, Derek Thomas, Adam Gillespie, Matt Lear. Thank you all. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We are back tomorrow at 11. It's Cellini. It's Domino. It's the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.